The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" Jesus asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, a mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near a village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Well, how y'all doing? It's been a weird month. We spent Easter together, and now this is 2 weeks now that we have been apart. My muscle memory is a little weirded out. It certainly was last week. But next week, we're back on schedule. I hope post-Easter has been good to you. It was a lot of preaching, a lot of messages, a lot of really important and well-known texts. And I found this week looking at this text thinking, what's left, really? What are we talking about here? But then I remembered my advice to you. When in doubt, read the text and read it out loud. Read it out loud, because it slows us down and we hear it differently. And I heard it differently. Easter Day was busy, right? A lot's going on. At dawn, we're told some, women go to the tomb. There's the vision of angels. Mary Magdalene, we're told, sees Jesus, mistakes him for a gardener. Jesus appears to the apostles, all but Thomas anyway, right? Because Thomas wasn't there. It's just a lot, right? It's a lot. This passage is also on the same day. And it answers one of the questions that I posed about the reading about Thomas, and that is, if Thomas wasn't there, were other people not there? Yes, at least Cleopas and his companion. So yes, it seems that people didn't necessarily scatter out of fear, but just thought it was over. Jesus died, he can't be the Messiah, we'll just go home and we'll try to, you know, put this behind us, get some perspective on it. It's quite the quandary, right? So Cleopas and his companion are on the road to Emmaus. I always feel a little inner giggle. I've lived in a number of places where place names are different. In North Dakota, I served four congregations as a part of a cluster, and one of them was called Palermo. My Italian aunt would have been offended. It was Palermo, but Palermo was more palatable, I guess, somehow. When I was serving in Pennsylvania, my first call, there were a number of places like that, and one of them was Emmaus, which people there called Emaw. Emaw, Pennsylvania. Like, Emaw. So when I hear Emmaus, I have to kind of fight and not say Emaw just out of humor. But the road to Emmaus, it's another one of those kind of famous stories. There are, in Bible bookstores, there'll be paintings of the road to Emmaus, and there have been classical paintings of the road to Emmaus, these two disciples of Jesus and Jesus who they don't know. Now this one is interesting, right? I talked to you about this notion of what's called the messianic secret and how often people see Jesus but don't recognize Jesus, or they're kept from recognizing Jesus, or Jesus says, don't tell people who I am. Resurrection appearances are a lot like that. Mary Magdalene thinks he's the gardener. The disciples in the upper room think he's an apparition. Here, it's interesting that there's some verbs, there's some action words, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Now, that kind of passive voice, we're not told whom, kept them. Typically in the Bible, if the acting agent is kept to be kind of a mystery, then it's usually God. So God, Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, whatever, they're kept from recognizing him. It's intentional. So they're going to Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. This would have been they're on foot. We know from the context of what they've reported that they didn't leave in the morning. They left later in the day. And it appears they've timed it well, because they arrived there in the evening. And typically you wouldn't walk on these roads at night. They were dangerous. There were bandits and robbers. You know, the Good Samaritan story kind of jumps out here. So they're walking along and they're talking. And we can understand that, right? They're trying to debrief. Like, what happened? And possibly, where did we get it wrong? I mean, if he's dead, I mean... You know, the women said that they saw him, but you know, we don't know. And particularly lately in the news, it's just so staggering. And the Bible is full of this, and unfortunately, the church is very full of it. That we don't listen to women. We don't believe women. The women told them, and they didn't believe them, because women. And yet Jesus chooses women to be the first witnesses of the resurrection. Certainly chooses Mary Magdalene to be really an apostle to the apostles. After Judas died, was there indeed already a 12th apostle in the person of Mary Magdalene? Maybe. I think, you know, we could make a pretty strong case for that. So they're talking on the road, and they're just, what happened? How did it happen? They're just mystified. And Jesus comes near to them, and this, I love this. Was he tracking them from the back, listening to them? Does he appear like he did in the upper room? Luke doesn't care, really. He just kind of comes upon them, but Luke doesn't really care how. And it's not really important how. And they're kept right from recognizing him. What are you discussing with each other while you walk along? And they immediately look sad because it just reminds them. And it's the terrible thing about difficult news, right? I think, oftentimes when I talk to families who've experienced a loss, a loved one has died, I try to tell them, now you need to get ready, particularly the day of the funeral, to say the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. And it's brutal. I know from experience, it's just really brutal. And just kind of come to terms with it, bear up under it, I'm quite sure. But here's somebody else that they're going to have to tell what had happened, and they're just sad. It's just a great word. It's not a complicated word. They're sad. They're sad about what happened. And so they tell him. And we get this kind of review, right, of what's been going on. He was handed over, he was put to death, and we thought he was the Messiah. We thought he was going to bring redemption, and I guess we were wrong. And now it's the third day, and some women came, to us, to our gathering, and said they had gone to the tomb and there were angels and they had seen him. So then Jesus, then Jesus, we're told, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe what the prophets had declared. And I wonder if it felt abrupt. Whoa, hey, back up. You didn't even know what we were talking about a little while ago, and now you're getting kind of sassy here. And what Jesus does is what we're told Jesus is going to do, right? That between the resurrection and the ascension, he's going to recount everything he had told them. And here is perhaps the first example. He starts with Moses and kind of walks through and shows how everything came about like it was supposed to come about. Then they come to, they come to the village where they were going. And Jesus kind of starts to walk along, and it's like, no, why don't you stay? And it would have been the smart thing, right? Tough traveling at night on these roads. Really, really not advisable to travel at night on these roads alone. And so they invite him. No, stay with us. And he does, because the earthly Jesus, and now the resurrected Jesus, does not say no to an invitation. If he's invited, he says yes. Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over. So he went in to stay with them. And to stay with them, the idea is, they're going to have a meal and, spend the night. And, whoever he is could go on his journey, the next day. And then we're in this kind of classic moment, right? When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Last Supper, right? This is what Jesus does. He takes bread, breaks it, blesses it, breaks it, and hands it to them. It's a very Eucharistic Last Supper, Lord's Supper kind of moment. And clearly an echo. And I think clearly an intentional echo. And then their eyes were opened. And again, it's a passive verb, right? I'm sorry to get all this grammar on you, but it's interesting that we're opened by whom? Well, God, Jesus, the resurrected Jesus. They did not realize it. A light bulb didn't go off going, oh, we should have known who he was. Their eyes, we know their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And now their eyes are no longer kept from recognizing him. The veil, the limitation, whatever it is lifted. And why, right? I mean, then their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he vanished from their sight. Why then? Wouldn't his words have had more authority if it was Jesus? He appears to them, they're kept from recognizing him, and they're very sad. And the likelihood of them listening to what he has to say to them is minimal, right? If it's Jesus, they're not going to go, oh, yeah, why don't we take some time and you teach us about scripture? Oh, my gosh, you're alive. And even to the point of sitting down to this evening meal. So there's this, you know, why at that moment, right? He breaks bread. He blesses the bread. He breaks it. He gives it to them. Then their eyes were opened. They're not open during a time of teaching. They're opened at a time of enacting, right? That the memory is like he's blessing, breaking, and giving, just like he did, because they would have been there. It wasn't just the 12 apostles. I mean, we get that picture. But it would have been his disciples. And they would have seen it, right? Like, what? This has happened before. And so the connection is with Jesus' sacrifice and not with his teaching. He reminds them of all that. We're not told how they react to that. But we are told how they react to the breaking of bread, that this is the moment. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he vanished from their sight. So the risen Jesus is recognizable, but can vanish. It's a mystery. And then I love this line. Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us? So there was not a visual like, oh, that's Jesus, but there was that feeling. There was that that heart quickening Jesus teaching kind of experience. Didn't we feel it? And they discounted it, right? We're sad, we're in grief. But no, that's what it was. In the moment, we likely knew what it was and discounted it. So then they get up and return to Jerusalem at night. And they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, the apostles, the Lord has indeed risen. He's appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road to them, right? And how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. No reference to the teaching, made known to them in the breaking of the bread. That was, and I got to think those who heard it went, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's good. I think these are important touchstones for us in a time of faith and in a time, given what's going on in the world, where faith might be difficult, to capture and hang on to. That there's really no focus on the teaching. I'm not saying the teaching isn't important. I'm not sure saying Bible study is not important. But what's the focus here? This enactment, this embodiment, literally, of the Lord's Supper. Whenever the Lord's Supper is celebrated, we recall those words in the day in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, and having given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them. Took the bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it. And so we're in this line of recognition sometimes the words hit our ears and they just kind of ricochet around because of the state we're in. These men were very sad, and it may have been they didn't really understand what he had said, but the experience of him teaching, was just really palpable. And the other thing is that feeling, that notion. When I talk to people, and I met with some people this week to whom I needed to give this message. If we truly believe that the Spirit of God is in us, the same Spirit that was in Jesus, then there's a certain level of trust we need to have in ourselves. That, you know, when something's happening, you know, when we're, you know, we're with some people and we're feeling kind of disquieted, we're feeling kind of edgy, we need to pay attention to that. Why am I feeling edgy? What is it? What's my body trying to tell me that my brain's kind of not cooperating with? You know, at some point, if these men had said, oh man, when you teach, you know, we feel just like when Jesus taught us. They didn't. That, you know, that didn't happen. Their eyes were open at the breaking of the bread. So when we celebrate Holy Communion, when we share that meal together, we're in this huge line of connection, where this thin place between earth and heaven is especially thin in the bread and wine of Holy Communion. And that the Spirit is indeed in you and trust you. You know, trust you. You know, the Spirit of God is in you. You have been the recipient of you know, Sunday school, confirmation, Bible studies, worship, sermons, your own devotions. Your hard drive, you know, it's just packed with all of that. And I encourage you to trust yourselves, to trust you, as God trusted you when God put God's Spirit in you. Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, we give you thanks for these stories. With this story, that sometimes it's those moments, it's those thin moments where we get this inkling, we get this recognition that you are with us, and help us to embrace those moments and trust ourselves in those moments. That we indeed do discern your presence, because the Spirit that was in you is the Spirit that's in us, and there's a there's a recognition there. So as we're in these weeks after Easter and kind of unpacking all of what that entailed, help us to remember that when we receive Holy Communion, we're in a great line of those who have seen you, heard you, recognized you, felt you, experienced you in the bread and the wine. And that the Spirit that was in you is indeed the Spirit that is in us. In Jesus' name, amen.